My introductions are about 45, but so I'll hurry through the introductions. I do want to ask you to pray. Several things going on this week. We have what we began last year known as Ministers Practical Training Week. We have pastors that come in from across the country. Others come in. We have folks coming from Canada, New Hampshire, all across the country. And what we do is just pastors that have just been in the ministry like yourself, Brother Ken, for 30, 40 years. And just helping younger preachers and our missionaries as well. And so we'll begin tomorrow night, 6:30. Two preachers will kick off. We'll have classes all day, preaching each night on through Thursday. And so pray for these men of God and others as we come in, that God will just be, give us a time of encouragement, exaltation, just joy in serving Him, and that He might use us in that particular capacity. In 3 weeks, we have what we have known, we call the Alabama Campaign. I believe, and this is our 17th year, I believe it's going to be one of the greatest meetings. Brother Cummings called me the other day, said every prison is open, it's wide open. And then here's where I need you to pray. For the first time in our 17 years of holding this campaign in Alabama, 7,000 inmates, we have tried to get in the Tutwiler Women's Institution. It looks like we're getting in, which means that the ladies that'll come to the meeting, they'll go in, do the daytime visitation. We'll go over, husband and wife teams will go over in the evening, and the men will preach to the ladies. And this will be the first time. And now, keep in mind, the warden wakes up in a bad mood, we don't get in. So just pray everything goes well there. We are so excited about what the Lord has opened up coming up in 3 weeks. Then Judy and I are on the road till sometime in June. I'm in Ghana, West Africa. I'll be preaching a youth conference in Brazil in May. And then we'll get a little break in the summer. And then I'm back in Europe in August, as well as three major prison revivals here in America this year. So I just appreciate your prayers as we travel. Brother Ken, I'm trying to honor your request as to pray about preaching a mission message, and so that's what I want to do today. I had a couple messages on my mind, and this is what I believe the Lord finally wanted from me. And I want to read these verses to you. Then let me pray, and if it can, if we can go real quickly to some other verses just to bring us up to this place. And then I'll give you what my thought is this morning. But in Acts chapter 13, I'm assuming that's what I said, right? Acts chapter 13. Now, I'm going to try to pronounce these names. While in college, I studied a little Greek. And I have found out all those that study a little Greek, nobody can pronounce any of these names properly. So let's try with verse 1. Now there were in the church, what is mission's all about? There were in the church that was at Antioch, that local church, certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod, Tekar, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord, now listen to your Bible, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein I have called them. Now let's stay in context. God Himself, by the voice of the Holy Ghost of God, is speaking to the congregation of a local church. And the Holy Ghost is saying to the people of God, I want you to separate out these two men. For what? For the work wherein I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And I want to preach a message after I pray this morning. Keep your Bibles open, because I want to grab a couple verses out of the Bible, then come to this point. And I just want to preach for a little while on this subject, why I'm glad. I'm a missionary. Why, I'm glad I'm a missionary. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for your goodness today. Lord, thank you for a wonderful church. Thank you that Judy and I have been blessed so much to be a part of a family for 30 years that has loved us and we have loved them. And now, Father, would you do what only you can? Would you let the blessed Holy Ghost have free reign among us today? Lord, there's someone here today probably is struggling with their salvation, whether it be the need of or the settling of trust. I pray for that one. I pray for the servant of God who is weary today, needs a little encouragement. I pray for the power of God on Brother Ken and the leadership of this church. I could sit down now, get out of the way, blessed Lord, and let you do what you do. Would you bless the message today, and we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want you to notice something. Jump back real quickly to Acts chapter 1. We're going to come back to 13 real quickly. I want you to see some verses. Acts chapter 1. Remember, Luke is writing the book of Acts. Most believe it is the sequel to the book of Luke. And he is writing again to Theophilus, which is the name, no one really knows who this gentleman was. Some even have gone so far to say it wasn't really a real person, but it is an implication of thought, because the word means the lover of God. Some have said that Luke is just saying, to all those that love God, I write. Now, that's good speculation, since none of us know. You can chew on it or you can spit it out. But notice he said, the former treaty, the book of Luke, have I made, O Theophilus. And he called him the excellent Theophilus when he introduces him in the book of Luke. And he says, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. What I want you to see in this first chapter is he's reiterating. He said, I want to tell you about what Jesus did while he's walking on this earth. But he's gone now. But he didn't leave us comfortless. Now, he goes on to say, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, has given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now, here's what I want you to notice in verse number 8. He said, but ye shall receive, Jesus is speaking, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, that ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in all Samaria, and unto the othermost parts of the earth. Now, keep in mind that when you read the Acts of the Apostles as the title, that's not necessarily inspired text. That's a title that was added to describe what men believed. There was a description of the particular book Luke wrote, which was written under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God. Now, most say it's the act of the apostles, which is correct, absolutely. But I personally think it's the introduction of the work of the blessed Holy Ghost in the lives of the believers. Now, here's something I wanted you to notice. Back in the book of Matthew, when they said, Lord, teach us to pray, he would then give the Lord's Prayer. And the last verse in Matthew 6:13 reads like this. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now listen. For thine, Lord, thine, Father, thine is the kingdom. Now watch. And the power and the glory forever. Amen. So, ye shall receive power. Well, whose power is it? Well, according to Jesus' prayer, for thine is the power. And if you read the book of Matthew from chapter 6 to the remaining chapter, you see a delegation of his power. For Jesus sends out the 70 and empowers them. And they have the power to heal. And they have the power to cast out devils. But they still have not got the unction. They have a feeling. They have a touch. But they don't have the anointing and the unction yet. Now Jesus said, He said, the Father has given me this power. Remember those Pharisees said, who does this man think he is that he's got the power to forgive sin? For thine is the power. The substantiation of our Lord, we can say what we want and preach it, and rightfully so. What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey his voice? Well, that will make someone go, wow, but the disciples could do stuff like that. He gave them the power. He caused them the blind to see, but the disciples had that power for a little while. But when he said, what kind of power you got? The power to forgive sin? Only God has that power. Ding! Jesus was God in the flesh. So we go through the book of Matthew and he says, then we come to Matthew chapter 28. And he says, all power, he's talking to the church, he's talking to the disciples, he's talking to what's about to take place in the book of Acts. He said, all power is given unto me. Now, in the book of Acts, in Acts 1:8, we read that ye shall receive power. That comes from a Greek word, dunamis, where we get our word dynamite from. It's dynamic. It's the power of all existing dynamics. It is that kind of power. When he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power, the dunamis, the power of God. You know what? I was minding my own business some 40-something years ago, working in my little carpet plant, and I wasn't looking for God, but out of nowhere, he came looking for me. He exploded my life. Now watch. But in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus doesn't use the word dunamis. He uses the Greek word exousia, and it is a word that is not the dynamite power, Brother Ken, but a delegated power. And Jesus said, whose power is it? God's. What is the dynamite? God. Where is all existing power? God. He has enough power to just sneeze and all the universe pops. And Jesus said of the entire Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, I'll never get this message, and God the Holy Ghost, and all that power, he said, all power, right, all power has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Right. And he said, now here's what I want you to do, church. Go ye into all the world and teach all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I will be with you always. In the last chapter of the book of Luke, he said, here's what's going to take place. You're going to go out and preach the repentance and remission of sin. And I'm going to give you the keys of heaven and hell. And if you'll preach that old-fashioned gospel, then the sinner can know that they can have an eternity in heaven based on what Jesus has done for them. And he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go teach all nations. Now, there's two things he says there. He uses two Greek words. Go teach all nations. He uses the word didact or didactic. That's a teacher. That's someone that stands and instructs and teaches. But then he says, teaching them all things. That's an instructor. The teacher says, here's the theory. The instructor says, here's how you do it. So the church does the didactic teaching. You have the power given by God. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And since the Holy Ghost has come upon you, if you're saved today, it's because the blessed Holy Ghost of God showed up. He convicted our old wretched heart. The gospel told us how unrighteous we were. Somebody go glory right there. And my whosoever let me walk into the glorious door. I'm glad I'm a missionary. Now watch. He said, now that the blessed Holy Ghost has put all of you in here and you've been taught, now someone needs to put their hands on it and teaching them. And Luke then opens us in the book of Acts and he said, now I told you in the last treatise that I told you back in the book of Luke about the life of Christ and who he was and the power he had. But now he's ascended. And I need to let you know he's still working. But he's working through the Holy Ghost. Now, and when the Holy Ghost comes, ye shall receive power. Now, this is the word dunamai. And it means this. Jesus said, who's got all power? God. Who's got all power? The Father. Jesus said, all power has been delegated unto me, both in heaven and in earth. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you powerless. Oh, hey, I can preach and I'm blue in the face. I can't get one person into heaven. I can't guide one in. I can't wash you, clean you, bathe you, accept your sacrifice. I can't do it. All I can do is ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. And then he uses that old English word, Brother Mike, unto. Amen. New translations want to say to.
Yeah.
But he says unto.
Right.
And un is Latin for one, Brother Jamie.
Right.
One. Otherwise, he said, I'm going to give you so much power that when you sit down and tell an old sinner about Jesus, it's not you telling him, but it's one to another, and you're going to be my mouthpiece. I'm about to get full. Now you're going to become witnesses unto me. And then we go to chapter number 13. And we've gone through Ananias and Sapphira getting killed for lying to the Holy Ghost. It's all about the Holy Ghost. We got the Holy Ghost saying, hey, I want you to slip old Philip down and tell that old Ethiopian eunuch, glory. And someone told me, I've got to do some tracing on this. Someone said that the church that was started when that Ethiopian eunuch got saved and went back to where he come from, that church still stands in Africa today.
Amen.
And the Holy Ghost said, Stephen, you're going to get martyred, but that's all right. While they're stoning you, while you ought to be under great pain and complaining, you're just going to see heaven open up and Jesus is standing at the Father's right hand. That's what the Holy Ghost will do you. Holy Ghost will get you passed by on the deathbed. Holy Ghost will get you passed by when they throw cancer at you. Holy Ghost will get you passed by when you don't know how you're going to make it. Somebody go glory. When you don't know when you're going to make it another day, he's bringing us in. And then he comes up to now the church has developed. And Paul is a young fella. Old Paul got saved out of a... he's trying to kill Christians. He took part in Stephen's death. And now God said, you know what? You might throw him in the trash. You might say lock him up. You might say give him the death penalty. But God said, let me have him. And Saul's name means the desired one. But Paul, Brother Jamie, means the little one. Now let me give you this. I'll get out of the way. As I thought on this, I thought, Lord, why I'm glad I'm a missionary. Can I just give you the points? I thought, first of all, because of his mandate.
Yes.
You see, he commands us to go. He commands us to gather. He commands us to glorify. He gave us this powerful authority. And I thought about, I'm glad I'm a missionary because of the mandate. And this word mandate came into the English language according to the etymology of our English history. It came in around 1500. And Brother Ken, the word mandates, it comes from the Latin word manus, which means hand. And when we say, we get the same word, English word manual, which means to put your hands to a task. Stay with me. Reason I'm glad I'm a missionary to go tell the command to the old sinner is because someone said, I can't go, but here's what I'll do. If you'll take this hand, then I'll take this hand. Amen. And what you do for this hand, right, will enable me to do with this hand. And you know what? Why I'm glad I'm a missionary? Because when he laid out the mandate, he said there's going to be an old brother Mike and a sister Sheila that's going to let me stand up in their house. And he's going to say, hey, look, little did you know what God was doing in a mandate. Over 500,000 souls saved in 30 years. And hey, glory be to God. It had nothing but you put in this hand, and we took the manual and put it in their hand. Boy, I'm glad I'm a missionary that I could just take the manual that you have written and take it to an old sinner. Boy, I'm glad because of the mandate. I'm glad because of the membership. You know what? I wished I had time to tell you about some great missionaries, but I'm thankful for the membership, for that famous membership, for the David Livingstons, the Hananiah Judsons, and the George Muellers. George Mueller, in his days in the 1800s, would have prayed in what would be equivalent to $4 or $5 million today, over 5,000 orphans. You know what, Brother Ken? He never one time raised any money. He never one time told anyone a need. He just got on his knees every morning and said, Lord, there's 5,000 youngins. Right. And they ain't gonna eat today if you don't feed them. Right. And do you know milk carts would break down in front of the orphanage? And bread trucks would break down in front of the orphanage, and they knock on the door and say, Mr. Mueller, we can't use this. Can you? And for years, he prayed everything in and never asked one time anyone but God. I'm glad I'm a missionary because of the famous membership. Yes. Hey, not only the famous membership, because of the fraternal membership. Yes. You know why? I'm glad I'm not in the Moose Club or the Elk Club or Lions Club or the Goat Club or the Chicken Club. Hey, I'm not in any of those clubs, but I am in the Bride Club. Hey, can I tell you, it is a fraternal membership. Today, I am in the Bride's Club. I don't have to earn this badge. I don't have to earn that medal. By the way, they can't put a banner. They can't put a star. They can't put a little pointed hat on my head. He's got a crown waiting for me one day. Glory! I'm thankful today I'm in the fraternal membership. Not only a famous membership, but fraternal membership. Boy, I'm so thankful that I'm in a forever membership. Amen. You see, all my dues are paid. They don't come around, they don't bill me. About every 3 years, the NRA sends me a card, time to renew. That's okay. I give you biblical permission to join the NRA. You said, is it in the Bible? No, but give me time, I'll find it. All dues are paid. All my dress and uniform's already fixed. I got a white robe waiting on for me. Hey, all the decorations are set. I'll have a white robe and a crown to cast at his feet. It's a forever membership. I gotta hurry. Not because of his mandate, that he would mandate and say it this way. It's nothing of Ricky Dunsford. It's what I'm going to do, Brother Ricky. I'm going to let you join hands with Liberty. And then you're going to go join hands with sinners around the world. Church, can I ask you and plead with you to remember this? The only way that sinner's not going to hear, if one of us let go. If you let go, we can't get there. If we let go, you can't get there. It's a mandate. We've joined hands together. I'm glad I'm a missionary. I'm glad he mandated that way. I'd never know anything about Bowden, Georgia. I'd have never met several of you. I'd have never met Sister Renee, Brother Ken. We'd have never met if it were not for the wonderful mandate. Think of the wonderful folks God's allowed you to come across. And then because of the magnificence of it all, to stop for a moment and think. Now watch chapter 13. As they ministered, all this group, there were several that ministered. Prophets and teachers, verse 1 said. And verse 2 said, as they ministered, all the church ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, out of all this crowd, separate me. Can to think the God of heaven looked down among all the wonderful saints, better Christians than I'll ever be, better prayer warriors than I'll ever be, greater Bible studiers than I'll ever be. But the God of heaven looked down on me and Judy. You've been to our little country church. And he looked down that little old church and said, separate me. If Judy and I were honest and transparent, if you knew what we know about us, you'd set us somewhere on the back pew and say, you wait a while. But I'm thankful he didn't ask you. He said, separate me, them, for the work. And then the church fasted. And then the church laid on hands. Then the church sent them out. And it's magnificent. I'll just quit with this. I probably said it in another message, but I love the verse. David's going to build the temple. Solomon would end up building it, and David knew he couldn't build it, so David said, I'm going to collect what's needed to make it what it ought to be. And David said, I want this temple to be like none other ever was. I'm paraphrasing. He said, I want this thing. And then David uses the only time in our English Bible, and it is what they call an archaic word. It's not used unless you find it in late poetry. The word magnifical. Magnifical. Not magnificent, but magnifical. And it takes on more than just going to Disney World for the first time and going, wow. But it's a word that means that you see it afar off and it's glorious and it's wonderful. You see it afar off, 40 years ago, we'd be called. 38 years ago, we'd join Rock of Ages and become missionaries. And we could see afar off what we wanted. And some years have passed by now. But Brother Ken, that word magnificent says, we see it through a glass darkly. And we're looking over there. I'm looking at that stained glass window, and it's glorious. But it's a word used that the closer you get to it, the more glorious it becomes. Oh, can I tell you, folks? Been 30 years now, church, but don't throw in the towel yet. We're getting closer than we've ever gotten. Hey, it's been wonderful, but there's sinners that still need to be saved. There's still a glorious day of coming, and we're getting closer and closer. I'm thankful today, and I'm glad I'm a missionary because the mandate joined us together. Hey, because the membership joined us together. But we're both pointed in the same direction. Thank you, Liberty. You're still going the same way. You're still reaching out for sinners. You're still preaching the King James Bible, still sending missionaries out to the foreign field. Hey, it's wonderful to be a missionary. Oh, I forgot to tell you. You're a missionary. The word missions came into existence prior to the translation of this 1611 Bible. There was no word in the English language for sending out. So the church developed the word. Today it's used by the military, it's used by all kinds. But it was a church word. They said, if we're going to do this in the English language, we need a word. They had a Latin word. They had a Greek word. They had a Hebrew word, but they're trying to get us an English word, so they come up with the word missions. And it simply means one sent out. Later, 1626, it would become a political and military word after the translation of our Bible. Missions. Who was the mission? You and me. We ought to just go glory. Thank you, Lord, for letting me be part of the mandate. Thank you, Lord, for letting me be a part of the membership. Thank you, Lord, for letting me be a part of this magnificent work that Jesus died on Calvary for.